Psalm 78, verse 1, says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forget His works and His wonders that He had showed them." You may be seated. I'd like to preach today and take my text out of verse number 7, entitled the message, "Will the Next Generation Hope in God?" Will the next generation hope in God? What a question that poses to all of us here today, speaking of a future generation. What will the church of tomorrow be like? What will our children, when they come to the service of God, when they attend the church, how will it be when they walk in? What will the Spirit be like when our children and grandchildren come to the house of God? What will they witness? What will be demonstrated in the services? What will be known about the power of God? What will be known about the works of the Lord in the next generation? We could gauge a little bit of that by what this generation is doing. We have a great impact on what the next generation will do. What we're doing today, we have a great influence on the next generation. Our children and our grandchildren are greatly influenced and impacted by what you and I are doing right now. We are greatly impacted by what our forefathers did and the generations before us. We are enjoying the labors of those who went before us. Thank God for them. Thank God for every holiness preacher, every holiness church, every holiness community where somebody declared the truth and carried the gospel out, that you and I could have it today. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, right there in the community where I pastor, I entered into somebody else's labor. Somebody else plowed the roads of holiness and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to a generation that now I'm enjoying some of their labors. But it fell on my shoulders and on your shoulders today to plow the roads for the next generation, to make a difference in the next generation that you and I are facing. I'm telling you, friends, what would it be in a few years if we don't hold to the old? To the generation before us. He's expecting us to do some things. God's looking at us. God's taking note to us. He has commanded us to do some things. He has made a covenant with us to do some things. He made mention of it here in the first verses that I read to you today. The writer here says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law,
Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. He's wanting everybody's attention. He's got something very important to share with us here today. He's cautioning us that the things that we have heard and the things that we have known, that we tell it to our children. How else will our children know if we don't tell them? How else will the next generation know if we don't carry it on and hand it to them for the next generation to pick it up and take it on for them? That's the way God intended it to be. He told us, He said, look, He said, we will not hide them from their children. Speaking of the past generation's children and their generations, He said, we will not hide them from their children, but showing them to the generation to come. Now listen, we know the Scripture teaches us in Deuteronomy in the 6th chapter, the Bible tells us about how that we are to tell it to our children when they arise up in the mornings, when they lay down in the evenings, when we sit down to the table to eat. We're supposed to share the blessings of the Lord with them, the commandments of God. That's one of the things we're supposed to share with them, is the commandments of God. We're supposed to teach them what thus saith the word of the Lord. Don't hide it from them. Don't neglect to give them the full counsel of God. Don't hold back on your children, but give them the real, true Word of God. Don't dilute it. Don't change it. Don't mix it up for them, but give them the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to get us to heaven. Oh, I know what the world, this generation's not producing too many that'll tell the truth. Not too many in this generation's going to tell you the truth. They're gonna dance around the truth because it upsets too many people. They're gonna play around with the truth because it messes up their lifestyles. But I'm telling you, God said you tell your children the truth. You give them the commandments of God. Don't you hold back, but you give it to them. We have that responsibility. God has given us that responsibility. Not only the commandments of God that we are to give to them, but notice what He said. He said, I have some things I want you to show them. You know, you can tell your children one thing and do another. And a lot of times they'll listen to what you're doing more than they listen to what you're saying. You can tell your children you need to be punctual and go to the house of God. But when they see you not faithful to go to the house of God, they may think, well, Daddy said go to the house of God, but Daddy don't go very good. He's not very faithful to go to the house of God. And when he does, he don't show much interest. He drags in late in the service. And why does he tell me to be on time? He said, don't just tell them. I want you to show them some things. This generation needs to see some things. Hallelujah. This generation needs to see some things. And one of the things He told us to show them was the praises of God. He said, you show to your children, to the generation to come, the praises of the Lord. You know what our children need to see? They need to see true worshipers. They need to see somebody that comes to the house of the Lord and's got a reason to throw their hands up into the air and praise God without embarrassment and without worrying about what others might say or think. But they come to worship the Lord. Come to the house of God. They need to see us get on our knees when it's time to pray. Hello? You know some people, they'll come and when prayer request is given and you get down to pray, they don't really pray. They might kneel on their knees. They might sit quietly and talk to a neighbor. They might, you know, get up and go to the bathroom. They might do a lot of things. But what our children need to see is somebody that really is praying. Our children need to see that. He didn't say, just tell them about praising God. He said, show the next generation the praises of the Lord. I'm going to praise you anyhow, Lord. Hey, I've had a hard day today, but I'm going to praise you anyhow. I'm going to come into the house of God without complaints and murmuring and grumbling about everything, but I'm going to come to the house of the Lord with thanksgiving and praise in my heart. They may see the praises of God go forth. They may know what it means to see a shout in the camp where the saints of God worship the Lord. And the sisters shout their hair down. And they run the aisles and they feel the presence of the Lord and know it's real. I ain't talking about just a demonstration, folks, that ain't got the Spirit and the power of God in it, but I'm talking about true worshipers. Those that are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. A lot of churches today, they get in a big hoop and a big holler, and they have a whole lot of demonstration, but the Spirit of the Lord is far from them. But what our children need to see is true worshipers. Somebody that's really got experiences in God. Somebody that comes to the house of God with their mind on God. They come to the house of God to receive something from the Lord. They come and they listen to the service. They participate in the service. And they give their efforts and their part and their mind into that service. And when the service is going good and God's a blessing in that service, they get into that service. When the Lord ain't moving in a great way, I still praise you, Lord. Oh, God, I praise you. I got something to offer you, Lord. I got a praise offering I want to give you. I just want to lift up my hands. I don't know what to say. I don't know why I'm right here today. I'm not talking about this service, but I mean we come into the house of the Lord and maybe not much going on. Lord, I don't know why, but I want to stand up and praise you. I want to lift you up, Lord. I want to praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Little child there in the meeting where we're preaching this week, one of the little children, I heard one of the parents tell about him, just a little fella. I mean, I don't know how old he is. He can't be over 2 probably. And just learning to talk and running around playing. And the parents was telling me about him, said he walked up and he hit his hand on a little old table there and he said, sanctifying Holy Ghost. Said he hit his hand on the little table and said, sanctifying Holy Ghost. You know why he done that? He'd seen somebody praising God. He'd heard something about that. He didn't know too much about what it meant, but give him a little time, he'll learn about it. If you'll give him and demonstrate and show before him the praises of the Lord. We need to teach this young generation. And not just this young generation, but we need to do it because we worship God. But listen, in the midst of that, friend, we're teaching a generation. We're showing a generation the praises of God. That ain't all He told us to do. He said the praises of the Lord and His strength. Thank God. We need to know what kind of God we serving. We're not serving a puny God. We're not serving a poor God. We're not serving a God that don't know and understand what we need. But we're serving a mighty God. We're serving an all-knowing God. We're serving an all-powerful God. And He knows and He has and He's got everything we need. And I'm telling you, friend, there's not anything you come up against that He don't have the grace to give you the strength to go through it. And we need to have confidence in the God that we're serving. We need to live lives that demonstrate confidence in the God that we're serving. Our children need to know that the God we're serving is a strong God, a mighty God, a powerful God. About 10 years ago, I fell and broke my left arm. I'm having to think a minute to know which one it was. It was my left arm, I'm pretty certain. It was a big snow in our area, about a foot deep. And some of us got together and we was going to sled. We don't get that opportunity much in our part of the country. And we found us a hill, and there ain't hardly none of them there neither. I come from northeast Georgia where we had plenty of hills. And I'd get up to McCall, South Carolina, and folks would tell me and give me directions and say, well, when you go right over that hill, I said, I ain't seen none yet. Ain't no hills here hardly, but we did find a place up there where they built a ramp for a bypass, and we were sledding down that hill there at that ramp. And I pushed my sister, Shannon, and give her a shove down that hill, and when I did, my foot slipped out from under me, and I fell with all my weight right there on that arm like that, and it bent it backwards, busted my elbow, literally busted it. You could feel broken bone in the elbow, pieces of it, misaligned and busted. I went on to back to the house. I drove myself home with my other arm. I got home, and I was in severe pain. Couldn't straighten my arm. It was locked in a place like this. Those broke bones had got it in a bind. It was broken. And I desired to trust the Lord and wait on Him to come by and heal me. And I sent word, and some come and prayed for me. And I got my wife. I tried to get her to help me straighten it out. I said, maybe if I could just pull it straight, it would ease some of his pain up. And I said, get a hold to it. And I sat down in a recliner chair. She got me by the wrist with both of her hands, leaned back with all of her weight. And I sat down, jerked as hard as you can, and she jerked. And it didn't straighten my arm out, but it like to made me come out of that chair. Very painful. I said, no, I can't do that. That ain't going to work. I lay there, for it was on a Wednesday. I lay there till Sunday. Very sleepless nights and a lot of pain. In the course of that time, I received a phone call from a dear sister who meant well. She's gone on to be with the Lord. I'd say this to no criticism to her, but to illustrate something. She called me up, Brother Bill. She said, Brother Glenn, we don't have faith anymore to heal broke bones. You need to go to the doctor, brother. You know, and that thing, instead of discouraging me, it encouraged me. And I got off of the phone with her, and I didn't rebuke her. I was kind to her. I let her know I didn't agree. I said, oh, God is able. And that thing got the stirring in me between that phone call and Sunday morning service. Got the building. Sunday morning service, I didn't call somebody and ask to preach for me. I felt like I wanted to try to preach if the Lord would help me. I had my arm in a sling. I couldn't hardly stand it to move any kind of way, and somebody had loaned me a sling. I didn't have one, and somebody loaned it to me. I put that arm in sling, and I got up just kind of like this right here. And I got to just telling about what a great big God we serving. Hey, God's not in a box. Hallelujah. God's not in a box. The God we serving, He's a strong arm. And broke bones ain't nothing. I mean to tell you, He raises the dead to life. He cleanses lepers and opens blinded eyes. He saves the vilest sinner and sets them free. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, He's a big God. We got no reason to limit God. God is a big God. He's a strong God. He's a mighty God. I just was exhorting somewhat like that. I don't know what I said. But all of a sudden, that old arm just felt different. I just said, I don't believe I need this sling now. Pull that sling off. And for the first time, I raised my hand up into the air and I praised the Lord. Hallelujah. Serving a strong God. A big God. A mighty God. Hallelujah. Yeah. And it wasn't too long. That arm was still crooked, but I could raise it. I couldn't do that before. I could raise it. It's still crooked. And the old devil told me, you know, he's a liar. I want you to know that. Most time we know it's him talking, and so I don't know why we even listen. But he told me, he said, you know, you're going to be an old crook arm. Hey, you know, your body, it'll finally heal and mend over. God ain't really done nothing for you. It'll mend on its own, but you'll be an old crook. Old crook arm. Walk around like this all the time. Well, just a few weeks. Brother Bill Prescott, just as sure as my name's Glenn, I was standing in the shower. That arm been crooked for about 2 or 3 weeks. And just like the Lord, not an audible voice, but a voice spoke to my heart and said, straighten your arm out. I straightened it out and it's been straight ever since. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we're serving a big God tonight. We're not serving a weak God. We're not serving a dead God. We're serving a strong God. My mother was raised all her life. My granddaddy Beecham raised his family and trusted God with the healing of their body. Trusted his whole family with them, 8 children. Never carried them to the doctor. You know, I'm talking about building confidence in that young generation. That they can know the God that they're serving is a strong God. A mighty God. He had always prayed for them. When they got sick, my uncle broke his arm one time and it broke between the elbow and the wrist. And just flopped like that right there. Broke right there. They prayed way into the night, Brother Eddie. And over along about midnight, Granny said, J.M.'s still a-crying. And Granny said to Granddaddy, said, have I done anything to offend you, Daniel? Have I done anything wrong? I want you to forgive me if I have. He said, no, you ain't. And then he turned and made the same type of apology to her. And she said, no, you hadn't. Said they went right back to prayer. Been praying for hours all afternoon. It's now about midnight. And they went right back to praying. Just in a few minutes, J.M. quit crying. They got up, went to bed. The next morning, he was out there pushing his brother in a wagon. They said, J.M.'s your arm hurt? He said, no, my arm don't hurt. God healed it. Hallelujah. God healed it. Oh, that boy, he got grown, got married. Wasn't saved. Had a battery blow up in his eyes. Went to the doctor with it. They washed his eyes out. They said he'll be blind the rest of his life. He couldn't see nothing. You know what he said? Now, I'm putting this in my words now, but he said, my daddy served a strong God. You know I'm not saved, but just take me down to daddy's. Let him pray for me a little bit. They carried him home and they prayed for him. He didn't even wear lashes when he died. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God healed his eyes, opened his eyes, didn't even have to wear glasses. He's a strong God. Our children need to know he's a strong God. They need to know he's a powerful God. They need to know he's a healer. He's a God that answers prayer. He's a God that hears the prayers of his children. He's a salvation God. He's a sanctifier. He's a baptizer of the Holy Ghost. They need to know the power of God. They need to know God moves. He reminisces in that chapter you can read. He tells about how God brought them across the Red Sea, delivered them, done great works for them, led them by a pillar of fire and a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He reminisces about the great things that God had done to them. He said, but you've dropped it somewhere. He said, you've dropped it somewhere. Yeah. He goes on, I don't want to miss this, but he told us to remind them of what else? His wonderful works. Great things God hath done. Hallelujah. The great things God hath done. God, I was facing a hard place on my job. I want to come home and tell my children about it. I want y'all to know God moved for me today. Hey, you would say, I'm going to go back and testify at church. Go home and tell your children what God did for you today. Go home and tell them what God did for you today. The wonderful works of God. Tell it to them. Let them see it. Listen, we can profess the strictest standard of holiness anywhere. But if we lose the works of God in our midst, and we lose the praise of God on our lips, and we lose the power of God being moved in our midst, I'm telling you, friend, we miss something valuable. The next generation won't have no confidence in God. The next generation will just think it's just a way to live. They'll just think it's just what mama said. They need to know the power of God. He told them, he reminisced, and he said, there's a generation that was a rebellious generation. They failed. Verse 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. A generation set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I look at the church world today. And I just wonder how far we'll go until we lose completely the Spirit and the presence of God. Church, if we deviate from God's commandments, the thing He promised us, told us that we are to hand our children, and we deviate from the praises of God, and we deviate from the power and the wonderful works and the strength of the Lord, I'm telling you what we'll do. We'll create a church that don't know God. We'll create a church that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll create a church that goes through a form. They go through a routine of attending the services. They know how to serve a family when their loved ones die. They know how to put on homecoming, if you will. And we have homecoming. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't mean that. They know how to do a pastor appreciation service. They know how to have a couple of revivals a year and treat an evangelist real good. But do they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Do they know the power of God that moves in their lives? Oh, God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, church, it's a whole lot more than the routines we get accustomed to if we're not careful. Hey, this generation, if we're not careful, we get accustomed to routines. I like it when the Lord shuffles it up a little bit on us. Hallelujah. When the Lord takes the service and it don't follow routine, I like it that way. I like to see the demonstration of the Holy Ghost when He comes by and He helps us. There's a reason He told them these things. He states it in verse number 7, I believe it is. There's a reason He told them to show the next generation about the praises of the Lord, His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. He reminds them in verse 5, said, For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. I refer to that in Deuteronomy, where He told them to tell their children. Then He goes on, listen to what He said. That the generation to come might know them. That's talking about the next generation. He didn't stop there. He said, even the children which should be born. Hey, that's him, and ain't here yet. Hallelujah. And He said, who should arise, speaking of those that should be born, that when they arise and declare them to their children. You know, what's that doing, Brother Bill? Generation after generation. Don't let it stop. Don't let there be a break in it. What we do, let's teach our children why we do it. And where it's coming from, and how to worship the Lord. Listen, if they can just learn to get an experience with God, they'll work a whole lot of that other stuff out. If they can just get a real experience with the Lord, that the Lord can deal with them, and the Holy Ghost can convict them, and the grace of God that bringeth salvation, which hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That means He brought the same grace of God that appeared to every man. He's teaching every man. God will do it if we can show them the praises of God, the power of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, the wonderful works of Him. Then He says, here's the reason why. Verse number 7 says that they might set their hope in God. I'd like to ask us here today. Ask yourselves this question. What is your hope set in? What is your hope set in? When you're in trouble, where do you see hope to get out of that trouble? When you're facing difficult situations, where is it that you seek help to know how to deal with that difficult situation? When your children are not doing like they ought to do, where do you seek help? When things don't go right in your own life, where do you seek help? Where's your hope? Do you know a lot of people today? Oh, me. They done got on so many nerve pills because they never sought God, but they sought help from everywhere else but God. And let me tell you something. If you go to a doctor in this generation and you tell them you're having a hard time dealing with things, the very first thing they're going to do is stick you on some kind of nerve medicine. Amen. That's right. Where is our hope at? Is our hope in God? Or is our hope in our ability to provide for our families? Is our hope in our investments? Is our hope in our insurance plans? Is our hope in the church? I'm talking about a congregation. I ain't talking about the Church of the Living God. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in a local congregation and we get to serving the church instead of God. It's happened to a lot of people. The Lord even convicted me one time. I'd been pastoring for a while. I'd been just laboring just hard as I could for the church and just doing all that I could for the church. I was visiting and I was preaching and I was going to the nursing homes and I was just doing everything I know to do. And all of that's good. And all that's good. Now, I'm not saying there's no wrong in that. We ought to be doing it. We ought to be working while it's day for night soon coming. But the Lord spoke to me. I was neglecting something. I was doing all of that for the Lord or for the church. But I was neglecting my own personal time with God. Listen, when you do that, you know what? You're fixing not to be able to serve nobody for the church. You ain't going to have nothing to offer to anybody for the church. Where is our hope? He's telling us that we should show these next generation the praises of God. That they should see the strength of the Lord and the mighty works of the Lord. We should tell them to them over and over. I done told them that one time. Tell them again. Hey, Daddy, why is this pile of rocks stacked up right here? It's when God delivered the children of Israel out of the wilderness across the flooded Jordan. Said, son, every year how this river floods out of its banks. The waters flooded all up here. Said it was just like that years ago. And God told the children of Israel it's time to go across. And He gave Joshua the instruction. Told him how he was to cross over. And He gave him, told him, said, you take those priests and you bear the Ark of the Covenant up on their shoulders. And said, you let them march in that water. And when their foot steps into the water, I'll part it from the left to the right. And the whole nation of Israel crossed over. And when they got done, son, he sent them out there and told them to get some rocks out of the bed of that river and stack them up right here so that I could be reminded to tell you about the mighty works of God. Hallelujah. I could remember to tell you about the mighty works of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said for them, He said, you do this so that they might set their hope in God. and not forget the works of God, and not but keep His commandments. He didn't want us to forget the works of God. He said, you let them know this, that they'll set their hope in God. Listen, it takes something for confidence to be built. I'd suppose that most all you folks here today have confidence in Brother Bill Preskett. I'm sure that's a whole lot of the reason you're here. You that attend here regularly, and those that are visiting here, I'm sure of that. Brother Bill's a good man. Why do we have confidence in Brother Bill? Is it because somebody told us that, oh, he's a good man, you need to have confidence in him? That don't go too far, does it? It's because we live an example. Brother Bill's lived an example before us and built confidence. Anybody you have confidence in, it's because you've seen some things that's caused you to believe in them and have faith in them. And have faith and confidence in them. If our children are going to have confidence in God, well, there's going to have to be some demonstration that will cause them to have confidence in God. I tell you what's happening a lot of times. They have enough confidence in God that they kind of follow along the pattern. They kind of play along with the system. They sing in the choir. They go to the functions. They attend the services. They pay their tithes. They testify occasionally. But when they really get in the battle, that's when the test is going to be demonstrated. You're going to see it then. He said the children of Israel, what did he say? I mean the children of Ephraim, what did he say about them? He said they had their bow. Sound like me, them folks was ready for battle, didn't they? You know what? They also had a reputation of being good warriors. It said, the children of Ephraim being armed and carrying bows. They was equipped for the battle. You know, we go to church. We do the part. We follow the pattern, but if we don't have our hope in God, our confidence in God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to do the same thing the children of Ephraim did when we get in the battle. You know what they did? They turned and ran. Why did they run? Their hope was not in God. Why did they were armed. Why did they turn and run? Their confidence, their hope was not in God. And I'm going to tell you, it ain't any different for us today. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Our weapons are spiritual weapons of warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's not what we're wrestling against today. It's a spiritual warfare. But when we get in the battle, friend, we must have our hope in God if we're going to stay in the battle. If we're going to fight the good fight of faith, we must maintain our hope in God. We can never lose our hope in God. We can never lose our confidence in God. If we're going to fight this fight of faith, we must maintain our hope and our confidence in God. Our hope in God and our confidence in God is the only thing that will see us through. And the only thing that will carry us through the test. Help us win the battle. Sister Ruth, come on to piano. Nothing else will carry you through, friend. Nothing else will get you over the... You can tote the weapons all you want to. Hey, you can tote the Bible. You can carry the songbook. You can sing in the choir and teach Sunday school. But if your confidence is not in the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, if your trust is not in Jesus Christ today, I'm telling you, friend, you won't be able to win in the battle. You'll go down in the battle. Will the next generation have hope in God? What are we producing? What's tomorrow going to hold for our children? I heard a song said, who's going to tell my children's children? Oh, God. I don't have any grandchildren. I've got some children that are grown. I think about them in the church of tomorrow. You know, you hear all the stuff that's going on in the news and see the things that's going on in the world. Listen, you ain't got to never pick up a newspaper. You ain't got to never see anything being displayed. You ain't got to ever go and listen to the radio or anything like that. All you got to do is walk downtown. Walk through the mall. Go to Walmart. And you'll see the decay of this nation. It ought to alarm us. It ought to alarm us. We shouldn't get used to that. It ought to get us upset. It ought to stir up our righteous indignation. Something inside of us that loves righteousness is supposed to hate iniquity. And I'll tell you what, if you love righteousness, you will hate iniquity. And I look around, I see all that, friend. It troubles me for the next generation. And I can't do enough to prepare them short of doing just what I've preached here this morning, showing them the praises of the Lord. You know, that'll equip them better than anything, showing them the praises of God and the power of God, the strength of the strong arm of the Lord, the wonderful works of the Lord. Let them get rooted and grounded in God. Let them get the experiences of God that they need to be saved, to be sanctified, to be full of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, friend, that'll equip the next generation that they'll have their hope in God. Let's keep our hope in Him. Let's not get distracted by things of this day, things of the world that would lead us astray. Let's not get bogged down in the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, or the pleasures of this world. But let's keep our hope in God. Let's maintain an experiencing God that demonstrates the real, genuine power of God, that our children may know there's a real God that delivers His children. Hallelujah. In the worst of circumstances. You may not ever been thrown in a den of lions, but you might be. And if you've got your confidence in God, you'll be able to go just like Daniel did. If you've got your confidence in God, would you stand all over the church? How about it today? Would you like to come? Would you like to come around this altar? I tell you, church, we need this. We need this. We need the demonstration of God manifested in our midst. We need to show it to our children. We need them to see it move in our midst. Hallelujah. Would you like to pray? Would you like to come? All over the church, let's gather in the altar. Let's seek the Lord. I'm telling you, God's got a storehouse full for us. There's nothing short. Oh, the arm of the Lord is not short. Hallelujah. God's got what we need, church. We'll just put our trust in Him. Lean on Him. Depend on Him. Believe Him. Hallelujah.